John chapter 12. I expect you've all read this dozens of times and got a blessing from it. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany. Bethany. I don't think we would have known anything about Bethany. I don't think it would ever have been mentioned in the scriptures if it hadn't been that the Lord Jesus went there. And if it hadn't been that there were three people living in this village that the Lord loved more than others and whom he loved to visit. Bethany. Just a few furlongs outside of Jerusalem on the slopes of the Mount of Olives. The Mount of Olives. That brings back memories, doesn't it? The Lord delivered a discourse from there. It was the last place upon earth that his feet trod upon before he went back to glory. And it will be the first place that his feet will tread upon when he returns in glory to deliver his earthly people in a coming day. The Mount of Olives. What a precious place that is to the believer. Bethany, how precious to us. This little village on the Jericho Road just outside of Jerusalem. He came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. Lazarus is a picture of you and I, of every sinner saved by the grace of God. He was dead. And that reminds us that once we were dead, dead in trespasses and in sins. It reminds us that this whole world is a huge cemetery. It's a valley of dead bones. Every person is dead in trespasses and in sins. Lazarus was dead. And he'd been dead for 4 days when the Lord Jesus came on the scene. When he went to the cemetery and wept outside Lazarus's grave. But then he said to Lazarus, "Lazarus, come forth." And nothing happened. Oh, yes, it did. Lazarus came forth. He was raised from the dead. He was risen from the dead. That reminds us that if we be risen from the dead, then so and so and so and so. We've been raised too. And Lazarus was bound. And the Lord said to them, "Loose him and let him go. Set him free." And we were bound, chained with the shackles of sin. And the Lord Jesus loosed us and set us free. Lazarus. Lazarus. He came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. Thank God for the Marthas. She served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. This is the third time that Mary's been down there. Down where, you say? Down at the Saviour's feet. When I'm preaching the gospel, I often tell sinners that that's where they've got to come to. Down at the Saviour's feet. Zacchaeus, you know, was up the tree when the Lord found him. And the Lord said to Zacchaeus, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house." In other words, he said to Zacchaeus, while you're up that tree, Zacchaeus, I can do nothing for you. But come down, Zacchaeus, come down. And he's saying that to not only to the sinner today, not only to the sinner to come down, to humble himself, to come down to the at the feet of the Saviour, but he's saying that to every child of God. Come down, beloved. Come down. Come down at my feet. And three times, Mary, and maybe many other occasions too, but three times it's recorded of her that she was down at the Saviour's feet. In Luke 10, she's down there, and she's hearing his word. She's hearing his word, reminding us again that the word of God should be the food of every child of God, and that we can only hear his word in this our day and generation through his word, through the scriptures. And it's only as we sit down at the feet of Christ and read his scriptures and read his word that we'll hear his word. The second time she's down at his feet is in the previous chapter. And this time it's in her grief and in her sorrow. Her brother is dead. The Lord could have saved him, thought Mary. The Lord could have saved him. She could have healed him. But he delayed his coming. And when he did come, Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. And in her grief, and in her sorrow, and as she mourns at the death of her brother, she's down at the Saviour's feet. And she couldn't have been in a better place, could she? Many of you have known what it is in your grief and in your sorrow to be down at the Saviour's feet, having him pour into your sad heart the comfort and the consolation of the Spirit of God. And you've known what it is to be comforted and to be encouraged as you've sat at his feet and poured out your soul to him. And now she's down at his feet again. Mary has a pound of ointment of spikenard, and it's very costly, and she's anointing the feet of Jesus. There she is down there, anointing his feet, wiping his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odour of the ointment. Now down to verse 9. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came, not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he'd raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him, I like this verse, by reason of him, because of his testimony, because of his witnessing, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. I believe that in these three people, we have summed up for us the whole of our Christian life. For our Christian life is made up of these things, four of them perhaps. Martha's serving, and we're reminded that we were saved to serve. We were saved to serve. The Prince of Wales has a motto. It's only two words. I serve. I serve. And would that were the motto of every child of God. I serve. Oh, you say, I'm getting too old for that. And I'm mindful this morning that I'm speaking mainly to old people. People, I don't know, over the age of 60. I don't know. I'm getting old myself. And you say, I can't do the things I used to do. Of course you can't. I can't either. I'm no anywhere near as vigorous and as enthusiastic as I used to be. Why? Because I'm getting old. Getting older. And you're getting older. But I tell you older folk today that there's one thing that you can do. If you can't do anything else, you can pray. You can pray. You can do something for the Lord. We get dozens of letters in at the tidings office, and I would say that in every single one of them, brethren and sisters finish up by saying, brethren, pray for us. Brethren, pray for us. Do you pray for the missionaries? Oh, you say, I can't pray for them all. Of course you can't pray for them all. But you can have some of them upon your heart, and you can take a special interest in some of them and pray for them. You're not too old to pray, are you? And neither am I. You know, again, there's a verse in the Bible, just where it is, I think it's in Ecclesiastes, I'm not sure, but it says this, in the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thy hand. You know that one? In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thy hand. Now that may refer to a literal morning. You know, you start off in the morning early to sow the seed, and then in the evening when you're tired, well, don't withhold your hand, keep on sowing your seed. But I like to think of it in this way. In the morning, when you're young and vigorous and strong and enthusiastic, in the morning of life, sow your seed. But when you get old, as many of us are getting, when you get old, in the evening time of life, withhold not thy hand. Keep on keeping on, like Burgess paint. Keep on keeping on. And so Martha served. And she speaks to us of service. Never criticize her. Somebody had to do the work. And somebody's got to do it today. And there's work and there's service for us all, the young and the old alike. So Martha speaks to us of service. And that goes to make up probably the greatest part of our Christian lives, service. I wonder what we're doing for him today. And then Lazarus sat at the table with them. And the table always speaks of fellowship. Fellowship. Lazarus sat at the table. We've been sitting at the table this morning. Not so much this table in front of me, but we've been sitting at the table of fellowship. We've been enjoying what the Bible calls fellowship with the Father this morning. How have we been doing that? Well, we've been telling the Father all about his Son this morning. We've been exalting the person of the Lord Jesus, the only Son of the Father. And in that way, we've been fellowshipping with the Father because the Father thinks a tremendous lot of his only and well-beloved Son. And when we talk to the Father about his Son, we're fellowshipping with the Father, because that's what the Father loves to do, and that's what he loves us to do. But then we've been sitting at the table of fellowship with the Son. Fellowship with the Son. And we've been telling the Son something about his Father this morning. The Father gave his Son, and we've been thanking him for his unspeakable gift. And we've been fellowshipping with the Son. Every day we fellowship with the Son. We often sing, he walks with me, and he talks with me along life's narrow way. You ask me how I know he lives? He lives within my heart. Fellowship with the Son. And then the Bible talks about fellowship, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And in each one of our hearts dwells the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead. And He never leaves us, not for one single moment of any day. And day by day, hour by hour, we fellowship. We're in partnership. That's what the word really means. We're in partnership with the Spirit of God. And we enjoy fellowship with the apostles, fellowship with us, the apostle Paul said once. Fellowship with them as we serve our Father. But then there's fellowship one with another. Do you enjoy the fellowship of saints? There are some Christians who don't, you know. There are some Christians who never meet with the children of God, who have no desire to meet with them, to fellowship with them. That we enjoy the fellowship of one another, the communion of saints, the companionship, the friendship, the partnership into which we've all been brought, the fellowship of saints. What a wonderful thing it is. Wonder where I would have been today if it hadn't been for the fellowship of the believers, the love and the care that they had for me. I just can't understand Christians who never want to be where the children of God are. I can't understand it. You know, when we get to heaven, we're going to be with one another throughout the countless ages of eternity. We're going to be gathered up together to meet one another in the air and to meet the Lord Jesus there. And together, not separated, but together, we're going to be with Him and like Him forever. And we're going to fellowship with Him and with one another throughout eternal ages. What a wonderful thing fellowship is. The fellowship of the Father, the fellowship of the Lord Jesus, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the fellowship of the apostles, and the fellowship of one another. And that's what the table speaks of. And Lazarus sat there at the table with them. And that goes to make up a large part of our Christian life, doesn't it? Fellowshipping with one another, meeting together to exalt the person of our Lord Jesus. And what about Mary? Well, Mary, you know, was the silent partner in it all. She sat at His feet. Now, I've often said that when we pray, we're occupied with our needs. And some don't agree with this, of course, but anyway, this is how I think about it. When we pray, we're occupied with our needs. Lord, give me this, give me that, and so on. When we praise, we're occupied with our blessings. We've asked God to bless us. We've asked Him to supply our needs, and He's done it. So we come into His presence, and we praise Him for it. We praise Him for it. But when we worship, we're neither occupied with our prayers nor our blessings, but we're occupied with the Lord Jesus. And this is real worship. This is the most simple definition of worship that I can think of. To be occupied alone with the Lord Jesus. Heart occupation with Christ, they say. It's like a boy that sits on his father's knee and they say about that boy, or it might be a girl, if you haven't got a boy, it might be a girl, my, he dotes on his father. Some have likened it to a dog, you know, that's been around for many, many years. And it's said of that dog, that he fawns upon his master. There's nobody like his master. And that's real worship. And here's Mary, and she's sitting at the Lord's feet. She's got no eyes for anybody else but Christ. Her thoughts are concerning him and him alone, and her heart is occupied with the Lord Jesus. And isn't that what we've been doing this morning? Isn't it? Just sitting there with hearts and minds occupied with the Lord Jesus. And you know, worship should play a large part in our Christian lives. It shouldn't only happen on Lord's Day mornings. You know, part of our prayers, you know, it's good to divide your prayers up into different parts, different segments. And we all ought to begin our prayers with a time of worship, to be occupied with the Lord Jesus alone. Never mind about everybody else. Never mind about our own needs. Never mind about the missionaries. But just to be occupied with Christ. And then when we've had a time of worship, we can go on with our prayers and be occupied with others. And if we do that, we'll worship. And the brethren will do it audibly, methinks, when they come together at the worship meeting on a Lord's Day morning. So there's service, and there's fellowship, and there's worship. These three things occupy mostly the whole of our Christian life. But then there's just one other thing, and it's witnessing. And I see Lazarus witnessing. The one that was dead, that was raised from the dead, he's now witnessing. And people are coming to hear him and to see him. And many of them are going away. And they're believing on him. Not because of what he says so much, but by reason of him, by reason of his witness now, they're believing on him. And our lives should be occupied with witnessing for Christ. What a joy it will be, beloved, when we get to heaven and see one there and one over there and one just here who perhaps would never have been in heaven at all if it wasn't for you, if it wasn't for me. Oh, the joy of joy, the triumph of triumphs, the ecstasy of ecstasies will be to see others in glory who perhaps would never have been there at all if it hadn't been just for me.